Iranian data wiper hits the diamond industry. CIS's director faces an ethics complaint, and Texas says no to TikTok. This is Risky Business News, prepared by Catalin Kimpanu and read by me, Claire Ed. Today is the 9th of December, and this podcast episode is brought to you by Thinkst, the makers of the much-loved Thinkst Canary. In today's top story, Apple is launching three new major security features for its Apple ID, iCloud, and iMessage services. The first of these is a feature named Advanced Data Protection for iCloud, which works by allowing users to encrypt the data they synchronize to their iCloud accounts. The opt-in feature is currently in beta testing and will roll out to US users by the end of this year. The rest of the world will have to wait till early 2023. Apple also announced it will add support for third-party security keys as a two-factor authentication method for Apple ID accounts. Apple ID has supported two-factor authentication since 2015, but the service didn't support hardware security keys. And finally, Apple's rolling out a new feature called iMessage Contact Key Verification, which will alert iMessage users when the person they're having a conversation with adds a new device to their account. Apple says that both of these last two features are expected to launch early next year. Perhaps unsurprisingly, the FBI has already expressed its displeasure with Apple's announcement. In other news, Indian cybersecurity firm CloudSec says a threat actor has gained access to one of its employees' Jira accounts. The account was allegedly used to access the CloudSec systems that were storing information on bug reports, customer details, and dark web monitoring. CloudSec says it learned of the breach after finding some of its data for sale on Breached, which is an underground cybercrime forum for selling hacked data. While the data was put up for sale under an account name Sadut, CloudSec believes the intrusion was carried out by a rival cybersecurity company, but it didn't elaborate further. Sequoia, one of the largest HR and payroll companies in the United States, is currently notifying customers about a security breach after a threat actor gained access to one of its cloud storage servers. The breach took place in September. Sequoia says the server was storing a wide array of customer personal information, such as names, home addresses, social security numbers, healthcare information, and wage and employment details. The company didn't reveal the number of impacted customers, but did say that the hackers were in its network for 2 weeks before being discovered. The computer network of Antwerp, Belgium's largest city, has been offline since Monday after a ransomware attack hit Digipolis, the city's IT provider. City officials say that numerous government reservation and appointment systems are offline, along with the city's email servers. The Turkish government has filed charges against İbrahim Haskalıoğlu, a local journalist who discovered a breach of a government portal. Haskalıoğlu was initially detained and later released in April earlier this year after he tweeted redacted photos of the ID cards of several Turkish political figures, including President Recep Tayyip Erdogan. Haskalıoğlu says he received the data from a hacking group that claimed to have breached Turkey's e-government portal, and he published the photos after the government refused to acknowledge the breach. He's been charged with disseminating personal data on social media. Texas Governor Greg Abbott has banned the use of the TikTok mobile application on the devices of state employees. Texas becomes the fourth Republican-led state to ban TikTok on employees' devices after Maryland, South Carolina, and South Dakota instituted their own bans. In a separate action, Indiana's Attorney General Todd Rokita is suing TikTok in two separate cases, accusing the company of exposing children to adult content and for deceiving users about their data being protected from the Chinese government when, the suit alleges, Chinese employees can still access their information. The Taiwanese government has also banned TikTok from government employee devices. Officials justified the decision by claiming the app is a harmful product against national information security. CISA Director Jen Easterly has been hit by an ethics complaint for a series of tweets that praised a recent book published by Wired reporter Andy Greenberg. The official complaint comes after news outlet Politico spotted three tweets from Easterly's government account that praised Greenberg's book. The tweets were later deleted. According to the government's ethics guidance, US government officials are prohibited from using their federal position or government resources to endorse products or services. but we don't expect this case to go very far. The Information Technology Industry Council, ITI, an industry group consisting of the world's largest tech and software companies, has asked the US government to abandon its mandatory requirement for vendors to supply software bills of material to government agencies. The request, made in an open letter published last month, comes after the White House issued a memorandum earlier this year mandating that all new government software purchases come with an SBOM. ITI says the SBOM standard is confusing and still needs time to mature before being enforced in government contracts. Group IB has identified a new cybercrime operation named Cryptos Labs that operates a network of more than 300 scam websites posing as fintech and cryptocurrency trading platforms. Group IB says that since 2018, the group has used search engine ads and social media posts to trick French-speaking users across Europe into investing more than 480 million euros in these websites. But researchers say that once users put money into their accounts, the group either asked for more or ignored their customers before shutting down the platforms and moving to a new domain. Group IB named the group Cryptos Labs after the kit it used to automate the deployment of the fake trading portals, which typically mimicked popular banking, fintech, and crypto brands. Researchers with Census found that 4,400 of 30,000 PulseSecure VPN servers currently connected to the internet are vulnerable to one or more security bugs, some of which have had patches available for almost 4 years. Census says the number represents almost 15% of all PulseSecure servers currently connected online. PulseSecure VPNs have been known to be targeted by various threat actors, including ransomware gangs and state-backed APT groups. Kihoo's NetLab division says it spotted a new DDoS botnet named WS0. NetLab says the botnet is written in the Go programming language and is currently using a collection of NDAI vulnerabilities and Telnet brute force to take over unsecured devices. Researchers say the botnet appeared out of the blue, grew to a considerable size in just 4 weeks, and has already been used to launch DDoS attacks by its operator. Researchers at cybersecurity firm ESET spotted new operations from an Iranian threat group they track as Agrius. Adam Berger, senior threat intelligence analyst at ESET, has a summary of the group's recent operations, which included the deployment of a data wiper on the network of companies in Israel, South Africa, and Hong Kong.
Agrius is an APT group that focuses on destructive operations, wipers, and ransomware that they use to target victims principally in the Middle East. They've been active since 2020 when they debuted their first wiper, Apostle. In February and March of 2022, they began conducting reconnaissance operations against companies in the diamond industry, as well as Israeli HR and IT consulting firms, and most importantly, an Israeli software developer that creates software used by companies in the diamond industry. We believe they used this access to the software developer to carry out a supply chain attack to deliver their newest ransomware, Fantasy. Analysis of the Fantasy wiper revealed large swaths of code were repackaged and repurposed from Apostle to create Fantasy.
Adam Berger there, Senior Threat Intelligence Analyst at ESET. Google's Tag security team has revealed that an Internet Explorer Zero Day that Microsoft patched last month was used by North Korean government hackers to target users across South Korea. Google linked the attacks to a group known as APT-37, which has a long and documented history of targeting North Korean defectors and South Korean policymakers, journalists, and human rights activists. And finally, Cisco says that a proof-of-concept exploit has been published for a zero-day vulnerability in the Cisco Discovery Protocol. The company says the exploit allows remote, unauthenticated attackers to run malicious code on some of its devices. The vulnerability has been confirmed to impact Cisco IP phones running the 7800 and the 8800 firmware series. Cisco says it's still working on a security patch. That is all for today's news. Today's show was sponsored by Thinxt. You can find links to all the reports mentioned in this episode in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com. Thanks for listening.